Welcome back to are we enlightened yet? You know, it just never gets easier for me to say for some reason. But you know, how's it going, Sid?
I'm good. So last week you heard the habits episode, and I finally cleaned my bathroom.
Oh,
so
I was
where is she going with this? I have to pick a new habit now.
Did it once and no longer needs to be.
Yeah.
Well, if only that's how habit works.
Yeah. No, I wish. But no, I'm doing... Today's been a weird day.
Yeah, it's been fiery.
It's been very fiery.
We're, we are recording this on January 28th. So, big things are happening in the old Canada.
Yeah.
The collective energy is being felt by honestly all. I have not spoken to anybody today, this week really, who is not feeling spicy as fuck.
Everything.
And just like weirdly spicy, not about like anything. People are just being easily triggered.
Yeah.
Arguments. Mm-hmm. Like all of us. Like it's just really high energy and it's like we don't know what to do with it. And it's coming out in like weird ways.
The air is just like very charged. Extremely charged.
It is. It's like a weird tangible feeling. I don't know if anyone else... I know other people are feeling it. Like, it's undeniable. It's a worldwide movement at this point. No, I don't really care. This isn't a conversation about what side you stand on. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do, but, you know. it's just... It's impossible to not feel what's going on in the collective.
It's significant regardless of where you stand.
Yeah.
It's
it's history.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens, it's like it's history.
Yeah.
And I think it's been a long 2 years for everyone. And now I think there's a lead up to tomorrow to just not even really... Obviously, when you guys actually listen to this, it'll already have happened. Things will probably be back to whatever by then. But like, yeah, right now it's that like, what's gonna
everyone's
happen
at like the boiling point and it's like
anyway, so it's the energy's spicy and
that's the only way to describe it. Spicy.
I have no bad news to report this week. Nothing has gone wrong.
Good.
So knock on wood.
Yes.
Let's keep it that way. So I am happy to report that February is the start of my new year. We're getting back. We're gonna hit the ground running.
Good.
Don't fuck that up, universe, because I put it out there. Don't do anything
about it. She knocked on wood. You can't.
Yeah, I knocked on wood, man. But today, we're just figured we'd do a little Q&A, so you can get to... I feel like you got to know us pretty good last episode. I couldn't speak English, but to get us get to know us a little better, keep it light, so we don't have to have such deep conversations or big topics sometimes, because it's not that easy to always dive into that for us either. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do... little Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready, Sid?
I am so ready.
All right. I'm stoked for this question. What book are you reading right now?
Okay. I'm reading 3 books right now.
Nice.
I'll name 2 of them. So the one book, it's a fantasy romance novel. It's the Blood and Ash series. So it's the second book, Kingdom of... what, Flesh and Bone? I think that's
if
what it's
called.
If
you haven't read these books, you need to. If you loved Twilight growing up, you need to even more.
Oh my god,
Twilight for adults.
Literally so good. So like, good. There's been a few times this week, I've woken up at like 3 in the morning, and I turned all my lights on my bed, and I just started reading, because I couldn't fall asleep, because it was just on my mind.
Do you just feel like you just decided you couldn't sleep, so that you could read?
Yeah, literally.
Not like, if you were a rollover, you probably would fall asleep, but you're like, well, I'm up, I better read.
I woke up, and I was like, you know what, this is the perfect time to read.
That is hilarious. So
that's the one book I'm reading, and then the other book, it's called The Broke Millennial, because I'm really trying to get my financial shit together this year. So
you'll have to let me know how that is.
Yeah, so far I'm on the section on budgeting, and that's fun. I actually really love budgeting. I'm weird like that.
It's a good weird habit to like.
So far things are going good, and it's actually really insightful, and like it's not like a bunch of like jargon talking about like stocks and stuff like that. It's a good, easy, light read, and it makes sense, and it's understandable, and it's actually making me motivated to be smart with my money.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I should read that. I'm not currently reading it. I bought a book, I think it's called I Will Make You Rich. Mm. Because I had the same kind of intention for 2022, but it's really based out of America. Like, it's really focused on the state. So it's about, like, 401ks and, like, stocks. And it is really kind of unapplicable to Canada because our banking systems are fairly different when it comes to that type of knowledge. Like, we don't have the same selection. Like, it's, I don't know. So I didn't read it, but anyway, so I did the same thing. So maybe I'll have to pick up this book.
Yeah. I recommend it so far. I'm like four chapters in.
That's all right.
Yeah.
And there's a couple money books out there that I've had people recommend to me, but yeah.
Anyways, what are you reading?
Sorry, ramble. Shocking. Weird. Mercury's still in retrograde right now. I'm reading this book called A Fierce Feminine Rising, which I'm actually really liking because it's a lot more about the, like, dark and gritty feminine energy, which is way more of interest to me than the, like, really, like, light and airy, fairy,
flowery,
love and light bullshit energy we're sold.
Yeah.
And it's a really good book because it's basically, like, from what I'm gathering from it, it's really focusing on the fact that, like, you can't pretend that all this dark shit doesn't exist. It does. And, like, especially, like, the corruption in the world and all of this, like, there's a ton of shit in our world that is not good. And you can't just, like, move it away with love and light. Do you know what I mean? And, like, it calls out some of the BS in the spiritual world and stuff like that. And so it's really interesting, actually, because I just feel like it's a book that's way more based in reality of life, and that, you know, like, shitty things happen, and trying to toxic positivity your way out of it doesn't fix anything, actually. Right? And it's really about speaking your truth and realizing that that's going to piss people off.
Yeah.
And you just, they're going to have to get comfortable with it.
I like that. I feel like that topic of, like, owning your darker side and that power isn't as popular as it should be.
No, it really isn't. Like, it actually took me a really long time to find a book like that about that kind of, like, feminine energy, because I don't really resonate with the really, like, stereotypical, like, cookie cutter feminine energy. It doesn't really resonate with me, because I know it's real. It's not that it's not real. It just doesn't feel, like, authentic to me. You know? So that's what I'm reading right now. I'm surprisingly only reading one book. I like to read fiction at nighttime, but I haven't been able to get the last fiction book I read was 800 freaking pages, and so I just haven't been able to get into anything because I think it just like burned my brain. So I'll have to go to chapters soon because I like reading before bed. All right. On to the next
question.
Next. Done. How do you get out of a funk?
Ooh, do you want to answer this one first?
Yeah. I don't... first of all, I believe in letting yourself have funks.
Yeah.
And not forcing yourself out of them. Sometimes you just need to sit and watch Netflix and eat shitty food and eat your feelings. I think that is completely fine. That's completely acceptable. And the longer you tell yourself you can't do that, the bigger the binge, or the bigger the, like, crumbling is gonna be. Like, sometimes you just need to binge a show.
Yeah.
It's fine. But then for me, definitely movement. Moving my body is one of the best ways for me to get out of a funk. Even if that's, like, dancing in my living room, going to the gym. Also for me, cleaning. Because I find a messy house equals a messy mind.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Journaling. Like, I think talking, like, writing it out and letting yourself know, kind of being able to get into what's going on. But I think, yeah, my biggest thing is if you're in a funk, let yourself have it. Don't force yourself out of it. Because it's not going to be real and you're just going to end up back in the funk.
Yeah.
That means binging Netflix, all the things. Like, eat your feelings if you need to eat your feelings. God, like, we need to stop, like...
Like, demonizing
it. Yeah. It's fine. Like, eat it, move on with your life. And then, yeah, second to none is movement.
Yeah.
As soon as I move, I'm like, oh, that's what I needed.
It makes such a difference, especially, like, if you're someone who doesn't move so much, and when you finally do get that movement in, you feel like a whole new person, because all that stagnant energy has somewhere to go, either somewhere else inside of you or whatever, or just completely you transmute it into something else.
It's, absolutely.
Yeah.
Move your mood, as I think I also said in the last episode.
Yeah, move your mood. I like that.
Yeah, which is not mine. It's from Restorative Sport and Okotoks. TM. Not sponsored. I just love them. What about you? How do you get yourself out of a funk?
I think my main thing is music. Like, I love music, and I love, like, upbeat music, and I even love, like dubstep and, like, hard bass music. Like, I'm such a headbanger at heart. And so when I'm, like, in a funk and, like, I know, and I know that Netflix isn't going to get me out of it, because that actually does get me out of a funk a lot, is just watching trash reality. And it's just, like, I can, So, yeah, trash reality, but music is, like, a big thing, because, like, I love to dance, whether with my friends or, like, alone in my room. And it's kind of, like, it relates to movement. It's just allowing myself to be present in the moment. And music is one thing that really just draws me into presence, like, immediately. Like, I love it when I find, like, a new really good song that just, like, hooks me in and keeps me there. And it's just, I can be in that space with, like, a good song or, like, a 5-minute house song. Like, I just, I love getting lost into the music and letting it move my body however my body wants to move. So that's, like, one main thing. And honestly, probably journaling too. Like, getting clear on, like, what this funk is, like, why I'm in a funk, you know? Like, without that clarity, I can be in that funk for days. And usually what gets me into funks is when I'm not journaling regularly and when I'm not checking in with myself. Yeah. So as soon as I notice I'm not doing that and then I'm in a funk, that's usually, like, my first clue of, like, okay, I need to check in with myself. I need to spend 5 minutes just asking myself how I am, what do I need? And then most of the time, it's just, like,
I find that, too, like, most, I think when I really think of my funks, like, most of them come from me giving too much and not to myself, right? Like, where it's just, like, you're saying yes to everybody and you're super busy and, like, I prioritize, like, sleep is everything to me. And if I'm staying up too late, getting up early, that's where I find those, like, funks come from. Mm-hmm. And then again, like you said, like, not checking in.
Yeah. Because it's so easy to give so much of ourselves to other people or other things.
Yeah.
And we're emptying our cup constantly, but it's, like, even just 5 minutes a day, just being with yourself and asking yourself how you are, you'd be surprised at how quickly that fills your cup up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like, again, like you said, like, get honest with yourself, because sometimes the funk is just that shit's just shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to have a pity party. That's cool. Like, oh, that's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Like, we can't be on all the time, and we can't be self-exploring all the time. And, you know, like, sometimes you're just having, I think it's also remembering, too, that sometimes you're just having a bad day.
Yeah.
There's nothing to unpack. There's nothing to, like, deep dive further into. Sometimes it's just a bad day. You're just in a bad mood.
You don't need to, like, overanalyze why you're having a bad day.
Just go to bed.
Yeah, sleep go to on bed, it.
Wake up the next morning, and you'd be surprised how good you feel.
Yeah.
Sleep. That's how I get out of funk. Sleep.
Just sleep
it off. What is your favorite trash TV, though?
Oh, so I just finished watching Too Hot to Handle, season 3.
Oh my God.
It is so cringy, some of the people on there, but it's so funny, because, like, in one way, it makes me feel better about myself, and then another way, it's, like, I can just see, like, I don't know, I love reality TV, because there's, most of the time, it's not scripted, it's just people being in their mess, and I love just the messiness of being human, and so seeing that on TV, and just seeing, like, the reality of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just so good, and it just draws me in. And so that's one I really like to watch. And also Keeping Up the Kardashians.
Oh,
that's just a classic.
Yeah. See, I love trash TV because I'm always like, man, I am not fucking crazy. Like, I'm totally normal.
It's very validating.
It is. First of all, I love Big Brother. Such a good show. Yes. But, like, my two favorite, like, reality shows that I'm obsessed with is any of the Below Deck franchises and Summer House.
Mom watches those.
Oh my God, you haven't watched Summer House, start from season one.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's so good. Yeah. Anyone, watch it. I love it. Message me. I'll talk to you about it all day long. I freaking love it. Okay. Sorry.
All right.
I love trash TV. So good. What's your favorite podcast to listen to? Ooh, I flip-flop all the time. I don't really have a consistent podcast that I listen to. I listen to the Expanded podcast a lot. There's this one podcast called Dissect, and it takes certain albums and it dissects them song by song.
Oh, cool.
And so it goes into, like, Frank Ocean's Blonde album and then Kendrick's To Pimp a Butterfly, Good Kid, Mad City, and then I'm in the middle of the Damn album. And so it's, like, these amazing albums, and, like, I think it's the Kanye West Dark Fantasy album or something like that. Oh, my God. And they just dissect it, like, line by line, and, like, the background of, like, what the artist was going through in their life and what led them to make that song and the inspiration, and it literally dissects it, and it goes into, like music theory sometimes too, and it's so fascinating, and like that really,
that's so interesting.
I love that podcast.
I should tell my dad about that. My dad loves music, so
yeah
interesting.
So those are my top two.
Mine is definitely, I listen to the Expanded podcast every week. I love podcasts because I listen to them a lot at work, so I feel like I have a lot to list off. Expanded podcast, I love the Mark Groves podcast. I really love, because I'm obsessed with Mark Groves. The Aubrey Marcus podcast, I really like. He has some really, really interesting guests, and I find that he is super good at facilitating neutral conversations, which I really like. And then, I mean, I feel like Joe Rogan is on fire lately.
Classic, yeah.
With some good info. And then I also like the Almost 30 podcast. You know what's funny is I used to be obsessed with true crime. I would just, like, consume so much true crime, And then I just realized that, like, don't get me wrong, I love a good murder story. But, like, when you're consuming that all day, every day, like, your subconscious brain can't separate like fiction from reality, right?
Some of,
like,
it's really fucked up.
And some of it's really fucked up. And, like, when you're constantly putting that in, and I think I've just become I'm trying to become a little bit more aware. I'm not a person that, like, really cares about what I'm taking in every day, all day.
You want a little bit more, be more cognizant.
Yeah, but because I was taking a lot of murder.
Mm-hmm.
And, I
don't want to manifest and murder.
Then, no, but
that's just kidding. But, like,
I was finding that, like, I was becoming really desensitized. Oh, that you would hear these, like, horrific stories, and one of my coworkers, I would be like, "Oh, that was a really boring episode." That and you're just like, "Oh, you found someone's murder boring? Sorry." You know what I mean? And I was like, man, you need to take a step back, that, like, murder's boring you. You fuckface. Like, sorry.
Oh, God. That was aggressive, but...
That's, like I said, feisty energy. Okay.
Feisty.
Okay, this is a really interesting question. What do women feel is the most lacking characteristic for men these days? And I would just like to say, we're not going to speak for all women.
Yeah.
We're going to specifically speak for ourselves.
And we're not going to generalize to all men.
No. Oh my God, no.
So, yeah. Disclaimer.
Yes. I think it's a good question, but I think it's actually a challenging one.
Yeah, I had to really, I'm still, like, thinking
about this. I think, for me, again, I don't actually necessarily think it's a men issue. And I think you're going to say something similar. I think it's kind of a human issue right now. And for me, it is commitment. Mm-hmm. And not in the fact that we have a bunch of, like, commitment-phobic people. It's more so that when things get a little bit tough, people run. Where they're just like, oh, well, I can just hop on a dating app and have anybody I want. Or, you know, like, this is a toxic, abusive relationship when really you just need to have some hard conversations. And I guess, too, it's, like, a lack of communication. People don't know how to communicate properly.
Yeah.
So I feel like, for me, those are traits really missing in people, is a willingness to put in the work.
Yeah.
But if I had to think of, like, a characteristic... Would it be like
chivalry?
Chivalry is, like, not being like, open my door, but even just, like, you know, I find that, like, people planning dates is so few and far between, where it's like, oh, let's just hang out. just a hangout. And then you're like a year in and you're like, are we dating?
There's not a lot of effort put into
dating. And again, that goes both ways. It's not just men, but I feel like we really don't put any effort into dating anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't think that's specific to men, but I guess because like I am a traditionalist in the fact that like I just am.
You want to be wined and dined.
I want to be wined and dined. And so I think that's for me is the chivalry. Chivalry. I can't say it. Is that word. It just feels a little, there's no effort. Like you said, there's just no effort.
Yeah. I think with what kind of men are lacking, and again, don't take offense to this. And if you do, if the shoe fits, get curious about that.
Yeah, don't come at me.
But I think not a lot of guys today are willing to like go deep and like go past like the surface level. Yeah. And I just think I think it's rare to find or to come across a guy who's actually willing to have like those hard conversations and get to know you on that deeper, like more emotional level, and like who actually wants to have those like more intimate conversations. And I think we're just scared of intimacy in general, you know,
an emotion,
and we don't want to let our guards down because we're so scared of getting hurt, you know. And so we spend so much of our energy trying to protect ourselves and trying to guard our precious hearts, but it's like we're not letting people in.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think this is a guy issue. I think it's like a guy and girl issue. Like it's like a society issue, because it's like even like with like social media, we spend so much time just focused on like the superficial and what's like easily accessed to us, which is just what we see. And you know, and it takes a lot more energy to get to know someone beyond the surface level. Yeah. And not a lot of people are willing to put that energy in because they're scared.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm going to say this, and this is probably going to be very generalizing. I think in many men I know, there's an inability to sit with the emotions of women, and then women get called fucking crazy.
Yes.
When what they're experiencing is just emotions.
We get labeled too much.
Yes. Or, you know, if they break up with a girl, whatever happens, they're suddenly fucking crazy. They're X, Y, and Z. And it's just, when really it's just, actually sometimes that craziness comes from being treated shitty. Mm-hmm. And then when you speak up about it, you get gaslit. And I'm not saying people intentionally are gaslighting. I think it's just, again, that inability to go deep. Inability to communicate, inability to sit with emotion.
The discomfort, yeah.
But I think that's it. It's this inability to sit with the discomfort and emotion. And then specifically women getting labeled as fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. And too much. And that really does a person's head in. And it gets conditioned in us as well. And I think it also gets conditioned in men that, like, if women are very deeply feeling people, because they tend to be more deeply feeling than men, not all, obviously, that's instead of just accepting that in that person, that they're nuts. Mm-hmm. I hate that, I think. Yeah. I think that would be the thing, is the ability to sit with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that is just the human experience. It's not somebody being too much or too needy, or we all have needs is the thing. And the longer needs don't get met, the more intense they become, and the more unstable a person becomes in trying to get them met.
Yeah.
But we're also afraid of having needs.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and that's, like, the big thing with guys. And, like, I mean, a lot of people in general is they're scared of the emotions. And just because, like, you are uncomfortable with the emotions does not make emotions a bad thing.
Yeah.
So when people are expressing their emotions, just because that's not something you're comfortable with doesn't mean that what they're doing is wrong.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of us just assume, because we're so dismissive of our own emotions, mm-hmm. we tend to dismiss other people's, and then they take that on, and they let themselves be damaged because of that. And then it perpetuates the cycle of closing ourselves off and resisting our needs to emotionally express ourselves, because we don't want to be labeled as crazy. We don't want the guys to think that we're too much. We don't want to come off as this like emotionally insane woman.
Yeah. And I would like to say, too, like, I recognize that that is taught in men. That they should not have emotions because emotions are not masculine.
Yeah.
I recognize that that is a taught thing.
It's definitely more of a systemic issue than just a man issue.
But it's but it is an issue.
Yeah.
And I think that is what's lacking is the, I think you made a great point, the depth.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to go deep and to hold space for wounding.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
That's our take.
That's it.
Cool.
That was a good question.
On to the next one.
This is an interesting one because I don't actually know if I really know the an answer for me. Is what does spirituality mean to you?
Okay. I'll go first on this one. So to me, spirituality is like, I think it's being able to connect with yourself and with life as it is and just recognizing like the value of it all. You know, the highs and the lows, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's recognizing that all of this has importance and learning to honor that and not dismiss any of it. You know, it's taking each experience as a teacher and knowing that, like, because I believe that we all have souls, you know, we all have spirits and we're all here in like these like physical avatars to learn on that physical level. We get to experience Earth through our senses. And so it's like spirituality for me is learning to use those senses, using those emotions, using our bodies to learn and evolve through this life and many lifetimes and contribute to the evolution of all of this. I don't know, that's kind of like getting really deep here, but I think in essence, to me, spirituality is just that connecting piece to ourselves and the greater whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? It's so funny because, like, I just struggle to put into words what I think spirituality is to me because I think, for me, there's such a pressure to have the crystals and do the yoga and do the meditation and drink the green juice and pull the cards and, like, that, we've been sold that that's what spirituality is. So I think I struggle to find what it means to me because I don't really connect with, like, majority of that stuff, right? So I think for me, spirituality is trusting that there is, it's bigger than me. But that something, I'm not alone in this. You know, that there's always kind of, you're kind of always working with, you know, dancing with the universe is kind of like what spirituality is to me, that I'm never at it alone and trusting in myself and trusting in my path, because I do think that like we are put here for a purpose. And like that when you get in alignment with that, that, and when things really start to click, like that to me is spirituality. I don't know, like, it's just, I think it's just a connection to myself and trusting that I believe that there is a higher power, whatever you want to call it, and being with that and being able to fall off and come back and do that, right? Like, I'm not the best at spiritual practices. I don't think I really do any, but like but I would consider myself a spiritual person. But yeah, I don't know. It's just a trust in myself and knowingness that like I'm connected to something else. You know?
And you kind of made a good point that like you probably, I think you do a lot of spiritual practices, but you don't label them as spiritual practices. Like I think spiritual practices are anything that help us connect with ourselves. For you, that's the gym, that's movement, that's all of these things. And some people it is the cards and the crystals and the...
As we sit here and I have 10 card decks on my card on my coffee table.
Right? And it's like people, those are great tools and people use those to connect with themselves, to tap into what their purpose is or how, what they can do to live in their most,
truest self.
But I think we just, as a society as a whole, we misconceive spirituality to be just the spiritual practices themselves, but like we forget that those are means to an end. Like they're there to help us get closer to true spirituality, which is ultimately connecting with ourselves.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And again, I think that's a way that we're sold everything.
Yeah,
it's consumerism.
Yes,
everything that we need to be interested in, we need to be. Find a way to spend money on it, right? Like they've sold us spirituality so that now we don't even realize that like spirituality is just within ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, you think like, oh, I'm not a spiritual person because I don't do all of these things. But like you just said, like, but you practice it in different ways.
Yeah.
So I think that is a very important reminder to not get lost in like the jargon and the bullshit mm-hmm. in the spiritual world sometimes.
Yeah. I just read this quote on Instagram and it was like, they teach us to always be looking outward for answers and to mm-hmm. always be in that process of looking for the next hit of inspiration. And we're always chasing after our growth or spirituality. But we forget that like the true power comes when, yeah, we use those sources of inspiration, but we go inward and we take action on it and we actually use them rather than always constantly looking for the next thing to give us like that yeah. boost or that clarity. It's the clarity. It's like, we use that clarity so that we can take action on our end and actually get that wheel turning. And so, yes. like you said, yeah. we're sold consumerism as spirituality, yeah. but it's like, you have to use the tools that are given to you, not just always looking yeah. for new tools to look at.
It even forces you to not even really know how to check in with your intuition. Yeah. When people are like, trust your gut, follow your intuition, and you're just like, is it my intuition or is it anxiety? And then yeah. they're just like, well, it won't feel terrible if it's your intuition. You're like, everything feels terrible because yeah. I'm anxious. Do you know what I mean? Like, you yeah. don't even know how to differentiate because we're just sold so many different versions. But again, I think like that intuition piece is trusting in the decision you make is the best decision in that moment, regardless of the outcome, mm-hmm. you know, and just kind of rolling with the punches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is hard.
Very hard. Because
it means you can be wrong.
Yeah. It's a practice for yeah. sure. It's a lifelong journey that we're on.
Yeah. Gosh, darn it.
I love it.
That actually is a good segue into our next question, which I really liked, is what's your experience with bullshit self-entitled enlightened gurus? Ooh. And I really like this question because I think especially Instagram is filled with them. Mm. And I actually think it is, I think if there is anyone type of guru that is wanting to skip the human aspect of being human, run the other way. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think that they've actually done enough self-work. Because I think all the self-work, you go through this journey, I feel like where you go through toxic positivity and like, I gotta be grateful for everything and all of these things. And then you come back to the real rawness of being human. And if somebody's not back in that, where it's kind of like that dark feminine energy, speaking your truth and realizing that like you can speak with fierceness and kindness, you can be both things. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of gurus out there that don't do that. They're just very 5D, light, love, which I think is yeah. bullshit. But I see a lot of those people, because trauma is so trendy right now, is that there's a lot of people that are claiming that they can heal your trauma and they have no trauma training and they're walking people to their edge and then they're getting abandoned. Mm. And that's really, really dangerous. Especially because there is more to the nervous system than like the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous yeah. system. There's yeah. and not that many people talk about it, right? There's more to it than that. And it's not about, you know, pushing people to the brink when they're triggered. That's not necessarily how everyone heals. And so I do think that that's really toxic and that's a really dangerous place we're in right now with trauma being as trendy as it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's really risky to, I know there's specifically a person that I used to follow and I've unfollowed because they've talked very ridiculously about how basically you just sign up for my 3 months course and I'll heal all your trauma. Mm. And I've been working on trauma with my therapist for over 2 years now. And I'm just like, that is bullshit. Mm-hmm. You're not healing real trauma in 3 months.
Yeah.
And telling people you are. It's a money grab.
It's a gimmick, you know, because they know everyone who is just getting started in this realm of healing. They do want that quick mm-hmm. fix. They do. Mm-hmm. They expect this process to be quick and easy and painless. And so they're looking for that Instagram guru who they'll give, what, $2,000 for an 8-week course. And it's like, yeah. It's sad to see because it's like they're doing more damage than good, especially if they're just a self-proclaimed coach.
Yeah, you know? Or I find anybody that makes it, they start, oh, they're like, I started from the bottom, and then now they're like this big person. And then they almost like try to shame people into their bajillion dollar weekends where it's like, this weekend is $4,000 and if you actually want it, you'll find the money. While someone's working three jobs to put food on their table and now they're thinking like, oh, I must not really want it. No, it's because your priorities are different and you're trying to put food on your table and you have three kids and not everybody can drop $3,000 for a two-day weekend where they're really going to come back with just a bunch of fluffy words and nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a fine line between these people just being all about money grabs.
Yeah.
I see a lot of coaches who are like, I want to help people. And I'm like, who are you helping because you're not affordable?
Exactly.
You charge too much.
That's like a big like red flag if someone's like claiming to be you know, that super helpful coach, but their thing is like $5,000 a thing. I think that is the issue too. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. There are some coaches out there who haven't done the training, but who are actually good and they do know how to hold space.
Yes.
There's natural leaders out there.
Absolutely.
But I think especially when it comes to dealing with our trauma, we have to be extremely discerning and not just give way to the people who just appear to be like, you know, those picture perfect Instagram models who were posting in Bali or, you know, it's deeper than that. Like, it's,
but everybody's claiming that they can work with trauma and it's not true.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I find the spiritual world, the coaching world, whatever on Instagram now is so gravitating towards. And I just think it's really quite risky. I see it with nutrition coaches working with people and you're like, that person has an eating disorder and you need to you need to actually have them go to therapy. You shouldn't be coaching them. You need to realize, and I think this is what most people don't, is when you are with people who are, you are no longer in scope for. Like realizing that you're now practicing out of your scope.
You need to know your boundaries of competence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a real issue. And I see it. And I see it with those really big, like, there's a lot of really big gurus out there that I think are bullshit. And I just, like, I don't like their approaches. I think it's money grabs. I think that they promise something that they actually can't keep their promise on.
Yeah.
So
I think you said it great
there.
Yeah. I have nothing to add, honestly.
That's like one of those ones because like it's come up in a book. I've watched a thing on it. Like, did you ever watch that documentary on Netflix about the yoga guru who basically like was like assaulting?
Yes.
It's shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's where that discernment comes in. You have to realize that there are snakes in the grass in that world. Like, there are narcissistic, toxic people who are actually just taking advantage of people wanting to make their lives better. And because people are so desperate, they'll just shell out the money. They'll just, like, make excuses for it being okay.
They'll say yes to anyone,
Yeah, and it's just, like, or they'll, like, use, they'll be like, oh, well, no, it's this, this, and this, and it's because of this, and you're just,
they'll
like,
justify all the justify red flags.
They'll justify it, and you're just like, no, not okay, right? Like, I think we also use spirituality sometimes, and enlightenment, whatever you want to call it, to not take responsibility for our shitty decisions. Do you know what I mean? Where we're like, we try to make it bigger than it is when really it's like, no, I made a shitty decision and I hurt somebody. I think we're really bad for that.
We try to make it more grand and profound and like make excuses for our behavior.
Like, I think across the board, that's my struggle with spirituality is we just use it to bypass so much.
We abuse it.
Yeah. Totally.
Because we don't fully understand what it is. And so we'll just...
And we all want to be enlightened.
Yeah.
We all just want to be in the 5D, living the best life, love and light. So then we just, like, make it up.
Yeah.
We're like, that's not how this works.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
But you can keep trying.
Good luck. All right. Our last question. Tips and tricks for living authentically. Take it away, Sid.
All right. So actually, being more authentic has been like a theme, I feel like, for everyone lately. I feel like being authentic is almost like a fad right now. Everyone wants to know how to be authentic. And
which is great.
Which is amazing. I love that. But I think we forget what authenticity is. And because at least for me, for a little bit, I was confused. And I thought authenticity was being my best self all the time. You know, like embodying my highest, most embodied, expressive self and, like, learning how to be that in every situation. But that's, like, that's not who I am. Like, authenticity is essentially just, like, learning how to accept yourself as you are in any given moment, whether if you're feeling tired or angry or sad or sensitive. It's honoring that and allowing yourself to show up in that space just as you are, and knowing that that's enough, and like, you are enough just as you are. You don't need to pretend to be okay. You don't need to pretend that you're more than you are. You don't need to pretend to know more than you actually do. It's trusting yourself that you can be exactly as you are, and that's always going to be enough.
Yeah.
Like, just that's the main line right there.
Yeah.
And living authentically, it's such a practice, because like we've said in previous episodes, we grow up forming this mask and like this shell around us, and we condition ourselves, and we're conditioned by our experiences to protect our true selves, you know, because we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be vulnerable. But it's like, authenticity is learning how to take that mask off and learning that it's safe with it off, and that you can be held in that space. And of course, it's not every space is going to be open and accepting and truly supportive of your authentic self, but it's like, it's also learning that that's okay too.
Yeah. And I think too, especially like when it, like you said, like anger, sleep, like if you're tired, all those things, it's making decisions in the moment that your future self will actually appreciate, as opposed to, you know, like making a decision out of obligation or instant gratification. Like, say you have a goal or something, and you can make a decision where it's like, I'm going to get instant gratification, but it's not going to bring me closer to what I'm actually trying to do. Okay, well, are you actually going to make the hard decision then? Like, it's like all your friends are going out, but you're so tired and you want to get up early in the morning, but you go out anyway, right? Authentically, the authentic decision probably would have been that you actually just stay in and go to bed, right? Like, I think it's making those hard decisions that better serve you instead of serving other people.
Yeah.
And it goes to, like, again, if you're angry, well, does that mean that, like, my most authentic self right now actually needs to speak up and be heard? For, like, me, like, I've talked about it and feels like I haven't shut up about it. Is, like, is that, like, letting peace be boring? If is this costing me my peace? Because then my most authentic self is going to do something to make sure it isn't. Right? So I think it's making, like the points you made, like, trusting yourself, accepting yourself, like, not trying to be somebody that you're not. And then in order to do that, it's making decisions that people may not like.
Yeah.
But that they serve you. And being able to tell whether or not the decision you're making is serving you, or if it's serving a version of you that you are presenting to the world.
Yeah. It's being, you know, like, completely honest with yourself about how you're feeling in this moment and honoring that. And, like, taking the actions that actually align with how you're feeling and align with how, I don't know, just where you're at right now.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like an example for me, like, the other night we had our women's circle, and we were hanging out with, there was like four girls here, and I was just so tired that night. And past Sydney, who was like trying to be like fake authentic, would have tried to been like showing up in a way that wasn't like, I didn't want, like, okay, let me put this another way. So past Sydney would wanna, her version of showing up authentically would be putting on a mask and pretending that I wasn't tired because I didn't want to make them feel that their energy was draining me. So I'd want to show up in a way that, like, okay, I want them to see me as present and engaged and enthusiastic. And I know I wanted to be that way, but it's like, it wasn't how I was feeling. But now how I kind of approached that situation, I was feeling tired and like not really like conversational. I allowed myself to just sit back and observe and like not really contribute to the conversation. And then I had like this internal dialogue going on, like, okay, this is fine. I don't need to be on right now. I'm fine as I am. This is me acting authentically right now. I'm tired and it's okay to be tired. I don't have to pretend to not be. So that's like how I kind of,
And I think realizing too that like when you show up as your authentic self, you're going to make people uncomfortable.
Yes.
And yes, it allows you to give space for others to also show up as their authentic self, but you're also going to push against some people's edges and you can get some pushback. And knowing that, like, you're meant to show up as your authentic self, and that's okay, and that's safe for you to do, even if it doesn't feel that way, and that not everyone's gonna like you, and you don't like everyone, and that's okay. Like, that's completely fine. So I think that's really important to remember, is like you said, like, you showed up, and who knows, maybe it did upset somebody. It didn't, but like, maybe it did. That's not yours to own.
Exactly.
Right? That's not, you weren't doing anything hurtful. You didn't do anything, right? Like, you just were doing what was best for you. And yeah, so I think it's just recognizing that not everyone's going to like it.
Yeah. We have to be responsible for our own actions and how we feel, but we're never responsible for how other people perceive us or how they feel about how we're acting and how we're showing up. If and it's triggering them, that's on them. That's nothing to do with us.
That being said, you can be an asshole and you can do hurtful things.
Yes.
You know,
and you,
like,
have to own that.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, is like, I think that's where the thing where people are like, no, people are responsible for their own feelings. Yes, but it takes, there's two to tangle sometimes. Yes. And sometimes we make shitty decisions that are hurtful.
Yeah.
Because I really struggle with that one, right? Where you're just like, okay, but I'm, what they did wasn't okay, and I'm hurt right now. But I know I'm responsible for my feelings, but that doesn't change their actions.
Mm.
Because that's that spiritual rhetoric again, right? Where it's like, everyone's a mirror. Well, some people are just dicks. You know, like...
And sometimes you're the dick.
And sometimes you are, right? And sometimes you, even though you have the best fucking intentions, can hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
We're all capable of it.
Yeah.
You know? So just recognizing that, you know, sometimes you are responsible for other people's feelings.
We're all human in the end.
Because you did something hurtful.
Yeah.
But owning that would be, again, you're coming into your authentic self. You know, and even journaling, asking yourself, how can I show up authentically to myself today? Maybe that means going to bed early. Maybe that means speaking up in a situation that you normally would feel the need to stay silent in because you're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that means wearing...
Yeah, like, saying no to an invitation.
Wearing something that you really love, but you know somebody's going to make a comment on. You know, like, that little thing. I think you have to learn to show up authentically as yourself in little moments. Because for me, like, learning to show up authentically, one of the things is just recognizing that, like, I'm weird.
Like, I have noticed that. You are very, like, weird.
Like, I'm just, like, a strange human. In, like, a... Just, like, an odd... I don't know how to explain it. It's not like I'm into odd things. I'm just, like...
You can be offbeat sometimes, and that's
like, it's just like I don't have a filter in my brain, and just, I don't know, but like,
we can
just,
all be weird, we all have 100%, those, like,
but
our
I just, like,
moments.
Very much own the fact that I, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
It, you know, like, it's what makes the people in my life like me, is because I'm just fucking odd.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, you know, like, the certain things that make you you, and you own them, and you accept them.
Yeah. So then other people think it's funny, and they, like, you know what I mean? And they're like, oh, that's just you, and you're like, yeah, that is, right? So I think that, like, for me, that's owning a piece of that authenticity, right? For you right now, it's showing up exactly as you are in that moment, and not feeling like you owe it to be something, or energetically something, that you're not able to be that day.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
That's where, like, I think that's really important. I think authenticity is different for everybody, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all have our own versions of what it means to be authentic, so, I mean, my only advice is how to learn to be authentic is just ask yourself, what does that look like for you? And, like, be willing to dive a little deep into your journal.
And you have to know what your values are,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you have to know what your core, you have to know who you are, so, like, find out what your core values are. Find out, you know, what things you really love to do and feel in alignment with you. Because a lot of times we actually don't even know who our authentic self is because we've been conditioned to be somebody that society wants us to be. So you have to start peeling back those layers in order to figure out. So, yeah, get curious.
Yeah, that's actually one thing I really appreciate about... like, Lacey Phillips' manifestation process.
Yeah.
Like, she encourages everyone to, like, get their authentic code. And so then from that authentic code, they know what to manifest, you know? Like, I think if we didn't know who we were authentically, like, what our true values were, it'd be hard to call in certain manifestations or to create opportunities for ourselves if we didn't know what we truly want in life. And so, like, when we have that, like, baseline of, like, knowing who we are at our core... even if it's just, like, four, like, pillars, that gives you so much, like, of a foundation to, like, build from and, like, uncover more of like who you are and what you want in life and building from there.
Because you actually start doing things that feel fulfilling to you. Yeah. And you don't realize how little you were doing that wasn't fulfilling.
Yeah.
Until you have those. Because you and I both do her manifestation practice. So we have our authentic codes. And it changes when you ask yourself, like, hey, like, here's my authentic code. Like, is this in alignment with any of this right now? Like, it does change how you show up to your life.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And a way to do that without having to do their process is, like, again, what are your core values? What do you actually value? You can find it on Google. There's so many different ways to find your core values. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely do that and then start asking the questions, how do I live in alignment with that?
Yeah.
What decisions can I make on the daily? Small, mm-hmm. not big. Don't uproot your whole life over this. Small, because that will bring you closer to an alignment. And the more in alignment you are with yourself, the more you're already showing up as your authentic self.
Yeah. And you create that magnetism for yourself in your life. And it just becomes easier to be in that magnetic space.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's so much power just living in your authenticity and knowing what that entails.
Yeah. But you really do have to get to know yourself.
Yeah.
And I think we almost avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
We're like scared of ourselves or something.
Again, it's the depth, the thing, everything with society. We are scared of that.
Yeah, because once you start, you don't get to stop.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, no more, I'm good.
You can't unlearn certain things either about yourself. And it's like, if you uncover like a past trauma or like something, it's like, I don't know, it kind of shatters your world a little bit.
100%, because there's always a phase, too, where you get really in the trenches.
Yes.
And it just, like, keeps coming and coming, and you're like, why isn't this over? Like,
one I'm done,
I don't want to do this anymore, right? Like, you get in this weird, but then you come out, and then you go back in, and then you come out, you go back in.
But once you get that wheel turning, it never stops. Yeah. It may slow down,
and then you get in the flow of it, and you're like, all right, this is just it.
This is my life now.
Yeah. Fuck. All right, that's it for our questions.
Those are really good questions.
Those were great questions. Thank you, everyone. That was fun for us.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was fun for you. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Yes, as always, we appreciate you guys being here. This is our sixth week. Seventh?
Sixth.
Sixth.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore.
Anyways, we love you guys and continue to share us with your friends, social media.
5 stars.
Only 5 stars.
Only 5 stars. If you guys could actually, if you're still with us, please share it to Instagram, tag us, send it to your friends. That really helps us spread the word and like kind of get out there a little bit. So if you would love to do that for us this week, we would love you forever. Well, we will anyway, but
Anyways, thanks guys.
See you next week.